It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, the last episode is in the oven, so let's do this episode.
Okay.
Is that your hobo train coming?
Nope.
Hear the train it coming. It's coming around the bend. That's all I know of that song. I think it's pretty famous.
I have no idea. Was that supposed to be?
It might be Johnny Cash. I don't know.
Folsom.
I only know.
What is it called? Did you kill a man in Reno just to watch him die?
Yes. I only know it because of a Mystery Science Theater bit, I guess. Overdrawn at the memory bank. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast where you can tell if we're prepared based on the speed of our talking. Because sometimes, if we don't know what we're going to say, instead of just admitting that, we slow.
Go ahead. I know you can do it.
Down.
Okay. But we never know what we're going to say.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
Yes, you don't understand. You don't understand the fucking pressure in my life constantly. Every week, I have to spend a week saying, what's going to be the only podcast thing? Seriously, like, it has almost ruined my marriage. I have ulcers now. It's screwed up everything. Like, you don't get that's the one pressure in this entire production. And I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Your pressure is remembering the number, which, by the way,
which you're making me forget. And I'm William, and this is episode 183. I hope that's right.
I believe it is.
You made me forget.
I just banked 182, so I'm going to guess it's accurate. See, there's way more pressure over here.
It's the only thing in the podcast that is sort of prepared. Everything else is just
and the problem
made
is
up as we go.
Here's the thing. I don't just think up one a week, or in this case, two. I think up either, like, six or zero. And, of course, I'm too fucking lazy to write anything down.
So you might forget.
So I do forget. So I save one out of my six, and so on weeks when I have six, that's fine, I got one. Although I'll tell you, I don't always remember the best one. But then on the 0 weeks, I'm just hosed, you know?
So, okay.
My life is rough.
Yeah, it is.
I need more sympathy. For those of you just joining us, we're a little slap happy because we just did an episode. Also, this is 2 weeks in the past. So, welcome. The way this works, we have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, all good people, people that love us, and people that respect Mother Earth, I don't know, whatever, write in to the email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with comments, topics, questions, things like that, and the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards that manifests physically within the hat. We, its loyal subjects, draw those out at random read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, repeat that for about an hour. It's the whole show.
And the reason we're talking about things being this week or that week is because, as we explained last week, we like to have a show every single Thursday, and sometimes to make sure that there's a show to post every Thursday, we have to record some ahead of time because we're not always available every Thursday. So that's why this is being recorded 2 weeks ahead of when it's actually going to air.
Yes. All right. So now I got to talk about my shit.
That's right. We sort of missed talking about your week. You talked about Doctor Who a little bit.
Talked a little bit about Doctor Who. We haven't watched a lot of other TV except FXX is doing their 12-day marathon of every Simpsons episode ever in order.
It's been a lot of buzz about that.
So that's pretty much been our backup TV channel always.
How's
now.
It been?
Good. Mm-hmm. There have been complications. There may have been a night on Saturday when I normally stay up anyway, when I might have stayed up really late, because about the time I would go to bed is when it hit its stride for me, which was around the sixth or seventh season, which both was when it really started to feel its legs, and also when I started college, which was a time when I was quite into The Simpsons. So we really got into some of my favorites right around that point. So I may have stayed up a little too late enjoying those. But in general, it's been good to have that there, and we just don't change the channel. Just turn it on. It's always there. It's fine. But we haven't been watching a lot of TV because we have been reading Dresden Files.
Mm-hmm.
That's still going pretty well.
You talked a little bit about that, too.
Yeah.
You're on the third book.
We're on the third book. We also recently acquired the Ultimate Evil Edition of Diablo 3 for the PS3.
Oh.
And I was very excited about this, because here's the thing. So Diablo 3 comes out. And it comes out for next-gen consoles, but it also comes out for older-gen consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. And I'm like, oh, we should get it when it's time, because it's hack-and-slash co-op stuff, which is what me and the producer really like.
Yep.
And you can play it online, so we can play with you guys.
Yeah.
We could play with her sister, stuff like that. So that's cool. We didn't get around to it. And then this expansion came out.
Mm-hmm.
The Reaper of Souls or whatever, which was this expansion. And apparently it's awesome. And it's got a new class in it that's really cool, and it has a whole new storyline that's really cool.
Really?
And as often happens with these kind of expansions, it, like, fixes some stuff, like, in terms of quests and things
maybe
like that.
Maybe we should download it or something.
Well, but that's the thing. It wasn't going to come out for previous gen. It was just going to come out for PC and for the next-gen consoles, for PS4 and Xbox One. And I was like, well, crap. I guess we'll wait until we buy a PS4, which may be like a year from now. But we're never in a big hurry with video games.
Yeah, right.
So then it finally comes out, and the combined thing, the Ultimate Evil Edition, comes out. And I see commercials, and in the commercial, you know, it has, you know, like in the old music commercials where it shows you the LPs and the cassettes and the CDs. When you got older, the CDs. And then for a little while, the laser discs, which was hilarious. I can see the PS4, and then I think I see a PS3 case. And I'm like, really? They said they weren't going to do that. And so I go and look up online. In fact, they did. And it's at Amazon, and it's like $40. And I was like, hell. So I ordered it. So we've got that. We have not started it yet, because we're reading. But I suspect we'll probably start it this weekend.
We really enjoyed playing Diablo 3. It was a pretty good game, and it really harkened back to some of the games we used to like to play.
Champions of Norrath, Baldur's Gate,
right? And we played through the whole thing number of times, you know, to get trophies and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember when we stopped playing. There was like, we stopped playing for a while for some reason, and then when we got interested in playing video games again, we went and got Arkham City. So I think we might have. I don't think we deliberately stopped playing it. I think it just sort of happened, and then we started playing something else.
Well, see, maybe we'll try and get you into playing again.
Yeah, might play with us online.
Right. So that will be coming up. I had another gaming. My gaming group got together.
Mm-hmm.
We did lose one of our people that night. Last minute, he had to work some overtime, and I was really worried Might have to cancel or something. And then I remembered, he's the guy who's up in orbit, who's just communicating with them. And I was like, well, screw it then. Sunspot activity, and his signal goes bad for one session. So we didn't do a lot. We're mostly, if you'll recall, the entire group is a mess due to their own fault.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is deaf, and that'll be true for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And finally got the other people to start typing on their communicators to her.
Mm-hmm.
But what cracked me up is they were the players were pantomiming the typing on their arm,
mm-hmm.
and her player started typing back when she would talk. And finally, it happened for a little while, and finally I caught on and was like, why are you typing? They can hear you. And it cracked me up. I died. And so I had to give him a fate point for that, because it did crack me up. But later it happened like three more times, including one time where he caught it himself. He's like, why am I typing? The player who got her kneecap blown out from her own shot got hopped up on painkillers, which became a mess because she's also the one they put to stand guard. So she shot a bunch of people. The other player that was there, they currently have some sort of fairly unknown, but they believe artificial intelligence that they have downloaded into an artificial body that they still don't know much about, that just happened recently before the crazy fight that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so in talking with this individual, the remaining player did finally think that they probably need a name. And the intelligence had no name and said, I have no name. You can call me whatever. And so she picked a name.
Mm-hmm.
She picked Obsidian. It has to do with her backstory. It's the name of a friend of hers, her backstory. Anyway, it makes sense for that. So she picked that name.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately started actually calling this person Sid for short.
Mm-hmm.
Without notifying the person or notifying the other players that she'd given it any sort of name whatsoever. So very quickly she talks about Sid, and everyone, including Sid, is like, who's Sid? So that was a little bit weird. But otherwise, that worked fine. It was pretty short adventure. They've come up with a plan, but it actually needs the help of the guy in orbit. So I'm like, this is a good time to stop. Because hopefully he'll be here next week.
Mm. Did you get together with Dave Avid?
Oh, yes! We did do that. Mm-hmm. I guess that has happened since we were last here. Yes, that was very fun. We are really getting into our roles, which in my mind is essentially a vaguely fantasy Renaissance period A-team. Because basically I keep coming up with different personas to sneak my way into places and con people.
Now, you talked about this, for the listener, it's going to be the podcast before last. So, have you not gotten together since then?
We have played twice, total. And I believe the last one would have been... No, yeah, we probably have talked about this since.
Okay.
Did I talk about when I came up with a plan that actually involved telling the truth and helping
people? Yeah, Dan's character was really happy about that.
Dave's character.
I'm sorry, Dave's character.
Yeah. Yes, he was shocked.
I meant Dave.
Yeah. We haven't played since then. Okay. We play that once a month, so...
Oh, once a month, that's right.
I did discover in one day this week that I discovered two... married couples at my work that are gamers. Two sets of married couples that both of them game, which was kind of a surprise. I also still doing Weight Watchers. Third week weigh-in, I lost 2.5 pounds, so I'm now at a -6 overall. So that's good. The website's concerned, though. Yeah, because I lost 5 pounds, gained 1.5 pounds, lost 2.5. Those have been my three weigh-ins.
Okay, so a negative number is good.
Yes, losing weight is good. I have lost 6 pounds.
That's good.
Did you not understand how this worked?
Well, I wasn't sure if...
I guess it was a weird way to say it. Yeah, I meant -6 pounds.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if...
I've lost -6.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no, I have lost 6 pounds.
Okay, and that's good.
Yes, that is good. And what's funny is Weight Watchers actually is concerned for my safety, which I didn't think it would be. But see, Weight Watchers, because of the snafu with what I reported my weight, and then like 12 hours later it was down 3 pounds, Weight Watchers website thinks I've lost 9 pounds in 3 weeks. And technically that's more than many people think you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. So it had this blurb. It says, like, congratulations! And then below that is this big paragraph. It's like, sure, you're really happy about losing weight now, and you should, but just so you know, you are losing a little more than is safe, and if this keeps up... And I was like, wow, they're worried. But don't worry, Weight Watchers. I just lied to you. And I still find it weird that you had no problem with me losing 3 pounds in 12 hours. But I do like that I could type in there, I lost 50 pounds, and they would actually give a damn.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, I was like, they're just convinced. If the numbers go smaller, you're a winner. So I do like that that's there. We finally got a book that we ordered from them called Eat Out. That is a big, huge book full of... First of all, it's full of a bunch of restaurants' menus and how many points things are.
Mm-hmm.
Very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, it's also got a section of cuisine types. Like, you know, here's Indian food, here's bar food, here's Chinese food,
mm-hmm.
and common things you would see on the menu and how many points there are, mm-hmm. which is extremely useful because there's a lot of non-chain restaurants I've kind of been scared to go back to. Like, I love Exotic India. I have no idea how many points any of that is, we haven't gone. Now I got this book, now we can go back.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, so that's been good. Still playing Red Dead Redemption. I have finally made it into Mexico. That's mostly for the people who played Red Dead Redemption and knows what that means. But, yeah, we had I got to the point where I was going to go up against the last guy that was the reason I'm in this game. I want to get this guy. And we did it. And it was really fun because I got to shoot a old-timey machine gun. And that was pretty awesome. It was a Gatling gun, but it was pretty cool.
Gatling gun.
And then it turns out he's not there and he's run off to Mexico. So now I have to go to Mexico. And the situation is such that I got to Mexico and now I'm... Like, I can't just hop back over when I want to. So this whole part of the game is going to be in Mexico.
In Mexico, yeah.
Yeah. And it is fun. There's little subtle changes, like, the music has switched now. There's a decided sort of mariachi tone to a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've got subtitles and everything, the random encounters that happen, like, you'll be going along and there'll be a guy like, help me, because, like, bandits are trying to kill me, or... That guy just stole my wagon, or whatever, you know, and you try and help him. And this one, some of them just speak in Spanish, and even the subtitles are in Spanish. Which brought me to an interesting thing when I had to reload one time, because this guy's like, help me, and I can pick out words.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, like, help me, I haven't done anything, a couple things like that. Mm-hmm. I can figure. So I'm like, and clearly, you know, and there's other guys pointing guns at him, and I'm like, okay, because... So I start shooting the guys. I immediately get a bounty on me, and all these guys start attacking. And I'm like, and I finally figure out, oh, the executioner guys in this version are the cops. These are the Mexican police force about to shoot this guy in the head out in the countryside, and they're the quote unquote good guys. So I'm like, okay. Didn't understand that's how it works south of the border.
Lesson learned.
Yes. I had to reload once for that, and then I had to reload a different time because I was riding my horse not on a path, not on an actual path. And I guess there was, I don't have any idea why, but there was a dude in, like, the bushes, and I was riding so fast, I just trod over him and immediately took, like, a bunch of penalties to my morality and stuff. And I was like, I didn't even know he was there! This game is fucked up in a lot of ways. They try and do, like, the darker reality of the Wild West. I mean... I had the one where I pick flowers for this guy to give to his wife, and turns out his wife's dead, and he just talks to her corpse and shit. It's fucked up. But here's what has freaked me out the most about this game so far.
Okay.
Is I'm walking along the countryside, the prairie, as it were. This was back in America.
America.
Yes. New Austin is the territory in question. It's like GTA. Everything has a slightly off name, but it's Texas. Whatever. But, so I'm in America, and I come across this guy kneeling on the ground in front of a dead woman. Like, bleeding. She's like, there's a pool of blood, and she's dead. Mm. And he is sobbing his eyes out.
Mm.
And I go up, and there's no option to, like, talk to him or anything. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? Then after a minute, he pulls out a gun, and I'm like, what? And he points it at his own head, blows his brains out, dies. Fucks me up. This is, what the hell just happened? Like, not a plot point, just a thing. It's a tourist attraction as you're passing by. Guy weeping over the dead body of his wife, don't know how she died, and then he can't live without her, shoots himself. So now, I'm in Mexico, and I'm wandering around, and guess what I find?
Mm-hmm.
A Mexican guy sobbing on his knees in front of a dead Mexican woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, seriously? And it seems like he cries longer, because I'm like, oh, maybe he's not going to do it. And then he pulls out a gun, shoots himself in the head. And this time, I was, or more accurately, the camera was positioned such that blood from him shooting himself in the head spattered on my screen.
Wow.
Seriously. I'm like, do you need to talk, game? Like, I feel like there's issues that you have that you need to deal with. Because there's nothing for this. There's not even, I mean, not that that would really make it better, but, like, there's no mission. Like, oh, you tackle the guy before he kills himself.
Just something that happens.
You know, it just, and the identical thing. Maybe that's it. It's bringing us together. You know, Latinos, Caucasians, we're all the same. We all cry over our wives and then blow our own brains out. You know, can't we just love? What the hell?
I don't even know.
Still real fun, though, going around hunting. Going around riding the range. I like to go out late at night. Other animals come out, shoot them. Pretty fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Do some treasure hunting. Do some collecting of various herbs and plants. It's a fun time.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I don't think I got anything else.
Okay.
At work, I've recently switched computers. I'll spare you the details, but I actually have a need to have a laptop now. So we just got all that set up, and I got all the cords worked out. So I'm finally using, since I have moved seats, if you will recall, a few weeks ago I switched seats because I now have a new boss and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The new place I am, my desk has the ability to go up and down.
So you can press stand up?
Button. Yes, I can stand up when I want to and not when I don't.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. A while back, they started, you know, when everybody started saying, oh, sitting down all day will fucking kill you, which is what they say, people. They started making this a deal. They're like, if you want, we'll raise up your desks and you can stand.
Hmm.
But it was a thing. They're like, you know, don't do it for a week and then say, oh, come back and change. Like, be sure that's what you want. And a lot of people started doing it, and they do it where they do, like, half your desk so you could still sort of sit on a part. And I was like, you people are crazy. I believe that my main call to battle at that point was, if God hadn't wanted us to sit down all the time, he wouldn't have made our butts so comfy. And I mocked all people doing it, and I thought it was ridiculous. And then, if you'll recall, I had spinal surgery.
Yes, you did.
And one of the interesting parts of having spinal surgery is afterwards, I could stand and walk both of these activities at the same time or separately. Yeah, you puzzled that one for a while. And it didn't hurt me. And suddenly, I see the benefit of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I can't be like, okay, let's raise my desk. Like, after all the shit, but if I got moved to an area that has the newer desks that move on their own,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, it's there.
Sure.
I just, you know. But I hadn't done it yet, primarily because the cords were all fucked up, and when I tried to show somebody from the other wing that it could raise, it yanked the cord off of one monitor and, like, bent the pins and fucked it up really bad. But now, I've got it all, and just today I figured it out. And so, in the interest of encouraging myself to stand at the start of the day, today when I left, I raised it all up
mm-hmm.
before I left. Mm-hmm. So, that should be interesting.
Cool.
Met Mick Jagger. Not even an eyebrow raise. just a nod.
Yeah.
Like, not even... I at least was, like, expected a, what? Nope. He's just like, nah, he's a goddamn liar. How do you know that the raising of my desk isn't a lie, though?
Could be. It could all be a lie.
No, but you were confident the Mick Jagger thing was a lie.
Yeah, pretty much.
See? That's not fair. Interesting tidbit on Audible.com. They now have audiobooks of all the Chronicles of Amber. And the second set, Merlin's Chronicles, is apparently narrated by Will Wheaton. I haven't listened to them. I can't speak to them. I just learned this the other day. You still here?
He does a voice in Batman Brave and the Bold.
He does a few voices. He does Aqualad on Teen Titans.
He does?
I believe so.
Hmm. Yeah, he does Blue Beetle.
Oh.
Ted Kord version of Blue Beetle. I think it's Ted Kord's version.
Ted Kord, that's the stuff that you use to blow things up with it. No, wait, that's Det Kord. See, backwards. Very close. Ted, Det, very close.
I think
maybe that's his secret identity. He's explosive rope.
No.
You don't know. You haven't watched it all yet.
I haven't watched it all what?
Your show.
Which show?
With Det Kord. With Will Wheaton as Det Kord.
The Batman Brave and the Bold animated thing. I watched all of them.
Oh, okay. And so that doesn't come up?
No.
Maybe there's a spinoff.
I don't know.
Be like Katie Kaboom from Animaniacs.
I didn't even notice it was him the first time he was in it, but then next time I...
You know that was just a drawing, right? That wasn't... Like, it was his voice. It wasn't his voice.
That's what I mean. I first heard that character, I didn't even recognize it as... And usually I recognize people's voices, you know.
I'm pretty good at that, too, especially in commercials.
But he sounds...
John Corbett is currently the voice of Walgreens and Applebee's.
Hmm.
I feel like that's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard those commercials. But yeah, usually I can tell, you know, if someone... I can tell somebody, oh yeah, that's so-and-so doing the commercial. Or I'll...
Did you know Pete Holmes is the E-Trade baby?
Really?
When you hear it, you'll know, and then you can't unhear it. It helps if you close your eyes when
he hasn't always been.
No, from day one. He's really? Always been the E-Trade baby. Yeah. It's so weird, because it is... He doesn't even really change his voice, he just changes the mannerism.
Hmm.
His sort of goofy, sing-songy nature is gone, and it's weird.
Huh. I'll have to, because, I mean, as I'm thinking about what he sounds like, I don't...
I know, right?
Yeah.
But no, if you close your eyes, you can point. And this is the thing. People don't believe him when he tells them. But I've heard him do it. Like, yeah. Basically, all he has to do is calm the fuck down. And he sounds like the E-Trade baby.
Because I always thought the E-Trade baby's voice, whoever was doing that voice, was pretty... I mean, it was a good voice.
I mean,
it was very... I don't know. Somehow that coupled with the baby and the CGI thing they did with the mouth. I was like, this is perfect how this all comes together. But I would never have guessed it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Let's hat it up.
My brain just can't stop thinking about that. And I still can't put it in. I'll have to find a YouTube video or something, like you said, sort of close my eyes and try to imagine it, but I don't know. This is from Azure Talon.
How many exclamation points?
3.
Dear dissonant and confused
forced voices of the magical talking head. What are your middle... What are your middle names and why? Why? We haven't talked about this before.
Well, first of all, the second question is stupid. Because the answer is because our parents gave them to us.
Yes, but you know he means why. Yes. Was there some kind of rationale?
This is actually a very interesting thing for me.
Okay.
Not to anyone else, but... My middle name is Kent. K-E-N-T.
That's my brother's middle name also. One of my brother's middle name.
And people who know me, upon learning this information, are like, hey, that's your dad's first name. And I'm like, fuck you, you don't know me. It's in fact not his first name.
Well, why do they think
it's his first name? Stop pretending you know my family.
Why do they think it is his first name?
Because that's what everybody calls him.
Oh.
And that's how he introduces himself. Basically, everything in the world has told you that's his first name. But he goes by his middle name.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. My siblings are each half siblings. And my sister and I share a mom, and my brother and I share a dad. So my brother and I are the only living children of my father.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both boys.
Mm-hmm.
And we both have that same last name. Or that same middle name,
okay.
And we did have the same last name. My brother took his wife's last name. And I always thought this was kind of a cool thing. And I don't go in for a lot of silly family traditions, especially naming ones, and especially gendered ones in general. But I liked this. And so back when I thought I still might have kids, my plan was any sons I would have would definitely have that middle name. My brother has three sons. And what he did was the first one's middle name is my brother's first name. And I believe the second one's middle name is his wife's first name. And the third, I don't know, they just picked something. And at the time, I was very bothered by this. Because I was like, this is a great tradition that we have, and you're ruining it. And it only took years later to be like, A, it's happened once, so I don't know if it counts as a great tradition yet. You know, it's been going on for generation, so I don't know that that counts. And two, it's his fucking kids. Like, and he's doing it in his own way, because he's doing his name in there or whatever. So, yeah, I had to get over that. And I did, and I'm fine. But for a while, I was like, oh. And I was also mad when he took his wife's last name. Not because he did, but because the producer didn't take my last name. And also now we're not having any kids. So I'm like, no one is carrying on the Parsons name except cousins. And most of my cousins with that last name are not the people I want creating the people that will be remembered for later.
Right.
So
that's hilarious.
So it was a little bit awkward. But yeah, I got over that as well. All right, Dairy Queen, what's your middle name?
My middle name is Charles.
Please tell me it's after Charles Nelson Reilly. That would be so cool.
No. Not even close.
Oh, but that would be awesome.
William Charles, I'm sure I've said this before, my first name comes from a physician that my folks worked with.
That does sound familiar.
At Iowa Methodist Medical Center. Is Dr. William DeGravel, and they named me after him, my first name. My middle name is after my father's father's father, my dad's paternal grandfather, Charles Roman Wright. And that makes me the only child among five children who is named after any relative, because Dad didn't like that practice. He thought that showed, you know, favoritism or whatever. But there, or that's what my dad would say, but there are, out of five kids, there are two exceptions, so really the rule doesn't even exist. I mean, that's the way Dad describes it. Like, well, I didn't really want to name any of the kids after someone because that shows favoritism. Well, my middle name is after your paternal grandfather. The son after me, his middle name is after the middle name of the maternal grandfather. So Charles is my great grandfather Wright's first name. Ewing is my great grandfather Hawk's middle name.
Okay.
And Ewing is my brother Roger's middle name. And Heidi, our sister, her middle name is Marie, and both of her maternal grandmother and her paternal grandmother's middle name were Marie. So,
see, and
so in a way, we were, you know, three out of five of us were named after family in a way.
Parents get weird about it.
Even though Dad insisted that he wanted to avoid that. Well, none of our first names are. Maybe that's all he meant, was he didn't want first names
and to be after. Here's the thing, and if I get any of this story wrong, I apologize, because not my family, it's the producer's family. But producer's first name is Patricia. You know who else's first name is Patricia? The producer's mother's sister. Her aunt. And yet, supposedly, essentially coincidence. Not named. But the one that really gets me is producer's sister, named Elizabeth, called Beth. Producer's maternal grandmother, Betty. Everybody thinks
it's a variation of Elizabeth.
Yes, swears up and down they didn't name it after her. And here's what they say. Because supposedly, I don't know if we have official record of this that we've seen, but supposedly, grandmother's name is not Elizabeth. Grandmother's legal name is Betty.
Okay.
And therefore,
still,
Elizabeth was not named after her. And I'm like, why? Now, they will at least admit that the son named Wedford is named after the father who's named Wedford. Because that's a hard one to sell otherwise. Because Wedford, I mean, come on.
Well, the funny thing is, I had a conversation with my dad about this recently, and that's when all this came up. And I said, you know, I asked him why he named us different things. And as far as I know, I'm the only one named after a friend of theirs, my first name. And like I said, the whole Charles thing being after his grandpa Wright was, I mean, that's always been sort of known. But the Marie thing, because the grandmas were middle name Marie. The Ewing thing is a little more obscure. I don't think everyone in the family realizes that Roger's middle name is from Dad's maternal grandfather.
I assumed it was from the family, the primary family on Dallas.
but I asked him, so, you know, what Dad, basically in all that rigmarole about not wanting to name you this, not wanting to name, I mean, he hates the name William. He never thought he'd ever have a kid named William, but he named me after this doctor anyway. And he didn't want to name us after, you know, use any family names, but he ended up doing that for 3 out of 5 kids. So after all that rigmarole, I said, well,
then
what?
Is your dad the guy from Memento, or what? Said,
so what does this all come down to? I mean, this is all pretty convoluted.
I get the answer. I know what the answer is going to be.
What?
No, you go for it.
Well, it's just, he just liked how it sounded.
Oh, okay.
Like Roger Ewing, for example, he just thinks that sounds good. Roger
Ewing. I was waiting for, it was your mother's idea.
No, no. In fact, it's kind of weird how he barely talked about Mom and what she wanted in all of these choices, except for Heidi. My sister's name is Heidi, and I think that was actually, that's usually my brother Scott is given credit for thinking of that name.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just thought Roger Ewing sort of flowed, you know. Scott Joseph is my older brother's name. He just thought that he always liked the name Scott. And he thought Scott Joseph sounded good or something. You know, it was all sort of how it sounded. And if it happened to be a name a relative had, then so be it. But, you know, for someone who really didn't want to use relatives' names, he did it quite often.
My sister went to college with a guy named Rocky. And he was the youngest kid. And at that point, they were out of names. So they let the existing kids name him. And he's named after the flying squirrel, literally. Okay, well. And so everybody always says, thank goodness that you didn't get named Bullwinkle.
William, I think the two names, William and Charles, they go pretty well together.
There's a guy at my work who has named his kid Atreyu.
Like really?
From Never Ending Story.
Yeah, that's also a heavy metal band.
Although, yes, that's also named after Never Ending Story.
That's right, although I think they broke up.
I'm really surprised you know that.
Oh, we had one of their albums. Listened to it all the time.
Really?
Sure, yeah, they were great.
Interesting. I didn't know you were in the metal.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can say I am. I mean, the kids were.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got into it through their interest.
Yeah. I was.
And that they were a good band, Atreyu was.
Just recently, I don't know if I talked, stop me if I talked about this before, but I recently realized that of the particular genres that I like of music, and in particular what I tend to like in those genres, I can pretty much trace back to specific family members who gave me an appreciation for that genre of music. Just about everything. And I even, because like, they were my primary influence. So like a lot of my enjoyment of certain pop stuff comes from my sister. Because mostly when I was a kid, she was in the house and she was listening to pop music at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I liked what she liked. My brother later introduced me into R&B and what would eventually become hip hop, because he was a lot into those kind of things. And I picked up that. And all of these different ones, except metal. I didn't get that from anybody, and I'm quite a metal fan. Mm. But my sister married a guy who's a total metalhead. Well, so now my theory is that that's what the family was missing, so she had to marry one of them.
To be fair, the other adult in the house was always into metal when she was in high school. And so it was sort of a combination of the kids had an interest in it, and she had a lifelong interest in it, and they were all connected on that.
Yeah.
And so when I was growing up, I didn't really like metal. However, I did appreciate a lot of the artists who were doing heavy metal were really sophisticated artists. I mean,
I know.
Very talented.
And it took me, it really hit me. I think a girlfriend in college pointed this out to me. She pointed out the symphonic and orchestral aspects that were in Metallica. And once I discovered that, I took off. And I do particularly like nu metal and symphonic metal stuff like that.
Well, and some of the, even some of the artists where the lyrics aren't that great are still sometimes very cerebral and literary.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I always appreciated that even when I was younger, but it just didn't, I couldn't appreciate even artfully put together lyrics that I couldn't hear and understand, you know.
The producer refers to it as angry music.
Yeah, so even though I understood it artistically and I appreciated it on that level, and I really admired the people who were into it as musicians, it just wasn't my thing. But you know, bands like Atreyu and Avenged Sevenfold and a few bands like that, you know, usually you can actually hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
And you can appreciate the artistry and the literary value even of their lyrics and the skill, the musical skill with a lot of the guitar work and stuff is really good. And percussion, too.
Yeah.
I thought Atreyu's, was it Lead Sales Paper Anchors? Was that album was called? Great album. Just song after song. Really, really good. Although that album was not very popular with a lot of their fans because they really sort of, there were songs on there that most people wouldn't think belonged to a metal band. Mm. Like the title track.
Yeah.
Wasn't very much like that, but excellent band. And Avenged Sevenfold was a favorite of the youngest kid in the family. Just really good stuff from that band. Of course, their drummer passed away. I don't remember how he died, but that was a tragic thing. But the guitar player for Avenged Sevenfold, they all have stage names. I think his name's like Sinister Gates or something like that. He goes by. He's a very good guitar player, really good. I mean, in my generation, everybody thought that Eddie Van Halen was like the best guitar player ever, and this guy's got it all over Eddie. So.
Oh, yeah, no, come on. I'm younger than you, and I go to people like Brian May and Pete Townsend. Fuck Eddie Van Halen. For a lot of reasons, actually, but...
Well, you know, and it's not just about speed. I mean, a lot of people can play fast, but to have... This guy clearly there's a lot of jazz influences in what he does for solos and everything, and he's just really good, and I don't know, there's a lot of good stuff out there, and a lot of the stuff of the bands I'm talking about, but you know, particularly Atreyu and Avenged Sevenfold, they don't fit very well, like they don't really fit into say nu metal very well,
yeah.
And they don't fit into post-punk, or, you know, a lot of these...
You ever listen to System of a Down?
Not very much.
They get really fucking weird. Like, I'm like, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're really into it. Like, this clearly means a lot to you. And they get some really interesting vocals going there too. Nowadays, I'm very big on trying to find female-fronted vocals in metal bands, and it's really surprisingly hard. I found a lot, but it's tricky.
Yeah.
And if I head a little more towards nu metal or towards pop, I mean, I'm willing to go as far as, like, Evanescence to get some of that stuff. And Flyleaf and stuff. Lacuna Coil gets there a little bit. Actually, Skillet, I discovered, is a band I really like, and they're technically a Christian metal band, but I heard a bunch of their stuff before I realized it, because they're not obnoxiously explicit. Like,
I didn't know they were Christian metal.
Yeah, no, because I heard them originally on Rock 108 or whatever, but yes, they are a Christian metal band. And actually, if you listen to the stuff, you're like, oh, I can see that. But it's not...
Well, a lot of people think that about Avenged Sevenfold, too, but they're not. I mean...
Well, and I'm starting to wonder about Flyleaf, because there are some weird references in there, and certain people sort of claim them as Christian metal, but they're not explicit about it, so I'm not sure on that either. But I've found, actually, there is a lot of... In general, Christian popular music is often really scary, as I think a lot of religious popular music is, because they're like, okay, here's the weird Bible phrase, or here's the message we want to do. Oh yeah, now let's make some music and lyrics to go with it. And so it's just so affected and heavy-handed and annoying.
Mm.
But metal seems to be the exception in a lot of cases, and there's a lot of Christian metal I like, but Skillet's a really good example. And Skillet also has an accompanying vocalist who's female who's really good.
Mm.
And so I enjoy a lot from that. And Lacuna Coil's in that same sort of boat. They sort of have two main vocalists and one's a woman. Recently grabbed I got into a particular song on YouTube. I found somebody doing a cover of that song, and then through them I discovered this group called Early Rise. And they're kind of smaller, but you can get their album on, like, iTunes. It's not bad. It's all female vocal. It's a little derivative. It's a little familiar in some ways. It's a little Breaking Benjamin meets Evanescence in a way. But I like the feel. And again, I really enjoy having female vocalists on that. I thought I was going to get there with Jenna Torturers, because they're very famously female-fronted, and in fact... mostly female in the group, but then I discovered she's one of those metal singers that mostly just screams
and growls and stuff.
Yeah, so I'm like, given it has no impact that you're female vocalist, I'm not interested. And then of course now I've discovered it may just be higher register stuff, because I discovered this post-rock stuff and Jonesy and Sigur Rós, and he has that falsetto thing, and I'm digging the hell out of that. So maybe I just like higher register singing in rock and metal.
Well, like Black Veil Brides and stuff like that, maybe?
Never heard, but quite possibly.
Well, except I don't... Thematically, they might seem kind of, I guess they call it emo or something.
Which is dangerous territory for me to get into.
But the vocal quality might be okay, and the guitar work is really good.
I came to the sad realization in all of this near the same time. I don't think I like punk rock. And I feel like I should. I feel like it's important to. I think I just don't fucking like it.
I don't like punk rock, but I can really appreciate... I mean, when I hear some and it's like, yeah, this is... I really appreciate what this is doing and what it did for the time that it was. I appreciate
the cultural significance.
Yeah, for the
time. I don't like listening to any of it.
Yeah, it wouldn't be something... If I had one of those MP3 devices, I probably wouldn't have a lot of punk on it.
We don't call them those MP3 devices these days.
Whatever they call
Grandpa.
Them. Grandpa. But actually...
Mostly we call them cell phones.
Actually, like, girlfriended or all-girl punk bands, I can appreciate more for some reason.
Well, and, like...
Because of the political... whatever.
If we count the first 80% of Liz Phair, like, I'm down with her. I'm not counting that weird last album that got all poppy and weird. I'm talking the shit before the Animal Girl and, you know, fucking shit like that. insofar as people would call that punk, I think I liked that. Mm-hmm. But I was in college at the time, so that may have some. But, like, Ramones.
Batty Smith, or?
God damn. My massage therapist tried to get me into Patti Smith. Not really. I mean, I managed to listen, like I got, but not really. The Smiths, I can take a little bit, but even then, mostly not. And in fact, my favorite thing from the Smiths is How Soon Is Now, and I vastly prefer both Tattoo and Love Spit Love's covers of that song than the original one.
Yeah, I mean, I get exactly what you're saying. I mean, sometimes I can listen to punk and I can really get into, like you said, the social, political significance of it. But musically, musically, no, it doesn't do anything for me.
I just don't, like, yeah. And it may be, I'm just not that angry. And maybe I've, even before my medication, I've just never been that angry.
But... If you just want to take it from an objectively musical standpoint, I mean, a lot of there's a lot of punk music where there's not a lot of
music.
There's musicianship.
Yes.
And that's actually part of it. And
oh,
you know,
yes. No, I get that.
And that is a cool part of it. But if what you're looking for is musicianship and craft, and for a lack of better term, musicality, yeah, punk music's not what you're going to want to listen
to. And so, like, I don't want to blame it, because if punk was altered in a way such that I liked it, it would cease to be punk.
Yeah, kind
and
of,
punk
yeah.
punk needs to be punk for its reason.
Well, also,
but the thing is, it's just, it's a thing people, you know, such and such, that's punk rock, and metaphorically, stuff that has nothing to do with music. And you have, what it means is if you're cool, you like it. If you're not cool, you don't like
and
it.
Also it's
and
kind
I'm
of,
like, I don't fucking like punk rock.
It's kind of outside the mainstream.
Oh, yeah, no, it's anti-authoritarian. Yeah, it's independent. Yeah, yeah. That's the whole thing to like about it. And I'm like, those are concepts of, you know, personal ego boundaries and political activism. It can still be shit music.
No, that's right. That's right. But yeah, I have to agree. I appreciate punk music for what it is as punk music, and even certain artistic aspects of it. But when I'm in the mood to listen to music, I'm not in the mood to listen to... I want to hear people who are crafting music, who are musicians, yeah. and who are... You know, that's the whole point of it. Not necessarily people who... Where it's kind of a statement that they can't play the instruments very well or whatever. Yeah. You know, I appreciate that. I respect
way,
it, but it's not the kind of music that I choose to listen to when I want to hear music.
Those of you who are yelling at your iPods that the Smiths aren't really punk, I've heard all the arguments. Shut up.
And I know a lot of people like punk music, and that's great. But, you know, punk, what makes it punk is that it's not mainstream, that a lot of times it does present an innovation or sometimes accidentally an innovation, because sometimes to get something innovative, you need people who don't know what they're doing.
Well, and that's the thing. I can appreciate anarchist tendencies in music, in whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I tend not to appreciate are nihilist tendencies.
Well, that,
and honestly,
yes.
Punk rock largely, I feel, goes that
way.
Well,
you can get that, in especially the kind where there's a lot of screaming and growling and not really singing.
Or the one where the bulk of the songs are about how much they hate their audience, you
yeah,
know, that
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Liz Phair, those lyrics are powerful things. Mm. And there was some musicality to it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I take it all with a grain of sand, because I was in college when I was listening to that. I mean, but then again, I also discovered Ani DiFranco then. I still fucking love her, so. Who knows? And I still felt terribly betrayed when Liz Phair came out with that last album. I don't even understand what happened there. it hurt me in my heart.
Yeah.
But,
but you can't kill the metal.
You know, this is metal. You know, the thing?
Yeah, the little...
Yeah, this is double metal.
Double metal. Uh-huh.
And this is too much metal for one hand.
I've heard that.
My brother-in-law does that. See, my brother-in-law is a metalhead. He's a hair metalhead.
Oh.
He's fucking 80s and 90s shit. So it's hilarious Because we both like metal, and we kind of like exactly opposing things. Because I'm like Breaking Benjamin, and he's like Alice Cooper, and he's like, no. Slayer. And
when,
shit
you
like
play,
that.
When you play, Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
Some really awesome music on there, from all kinds of eras and all kinds of artists, and some of it you won't like, and some of it you'll wonder why you like it, and some of it you'll really like it.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it's just a fun game.
Well, I've only just recently discovered all the varieties of heavy metal, basically from like Scandinavia and shit.
Oh my gosh!
And I'll be honest, the TV show Metalocalypse, I seriously almost bought, because they actually, like, Death Clock actually has albums that you can buy. I almost bought them. I really like that stuff. I know it's essentially a parody of itself, but I really like that stuff. And discovering Blind Guardian, who have been doing this for decades and have, like whole albums of heavy metal that are all about Tolkien and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that's the great thing about a lot of the Scandinavian bands is huge Tolkien or even just Germanic mythology themes in
stuff.
It.
Yeah, tons of
really
stuff.
Really cool stuff.
Which is kind of hilarious in a way, because they take it super serious.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But I mean, good music.
Yeah. And
I'm only recently... And then, of course, from there, I got to this post-rock shit with Sigur Rós.
Well, there's a lot of... Metal is a... I mean, there's lots of stuff out there, and it's pretty much all good on some level. I mean, maybe it might not be your thing, but... You can appreciate just about all of it on some.
I still like the fun game to play when you hear a metal song that you've never heard before. Is it Christian or is it satanic? Seriously, they're extremely similar.
And it has to be one or the other?
No, but there's songs that you can. There are songs that you can tell are devotional, but that it takes a long time for you to figure out which. Because that's the thing, it's abject devotion.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, is this Jesus? Or is this Satan? And I fucking tell you, sometimes you can't tell. And in fact, the reason I say this is because of the song Killing Loneliness that I really like, that I first discovered in Rock Band, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought it, loved it. And just the very feel of it, it feels sort of like it might be a Christian metal kind of thing. And the group is called Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, Christian metal. Mm-hmm. We look it up. HIM's an acronym. You know what HIM stands for?
No.
His Infernal Majesty. And the song in question is about heroin addiction. And I was like, oops. But this is the thing. If you hear it, sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, they're totally into somebody. They're praising the shit out of somebody. Oh, it's Satan. Or it's like, rah, 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 Jesus. Oh, okay, hi. Seriously, try it out. Sometimes it is hard to tell. It's a fun game to play.
Yeah.
Like, I can guess that. I don't even want to say faith, because it's really the same faith, just choosing different sides. I'm like, I can guess that spiritual standpoint in 8 bars.
That's good.
All right. We're not doing good at getting to the questions. Nevertheless, you should write the hat.
Yes.
TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. You should also go to the blog, TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. Talk with us. Tell us what you think. Tell us your business. Do your stuff. We might talk back. We do
tell
sometimes.
Tell us your business.
You know? And like us on Facebook, because why not? And tune in next week when it will have been 3 weeks for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we really won't get anything done. But keep listening, because we're all just a big family now. William and I are basically living out our entire relationship online.
Yeah.
And if you listen to all of it, you're essentially living it with us. So basically, we're giving you... like a holodeck or like total recall into our pathetic friendship. So
when you think about it that way, it sounds really pretentious. But anyway, isn't that cool? Somebody should write, like, a term paper on that. All right, I'm out. Peace. I always wanted to say that.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.